I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Mitchell Robinson will be on the ball, right will inbound. It's off to Brown. Bridges there. They hold it. They drop it. It's over. The Knicks have won. What a comeback and a game one win for New York.
High Noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It is a Tier Tuesday. Check out the tiers at Jones and Keith, Twitter and Instagram. You can seek those out on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. We'll get you madness at 12:45 as we do each and every Tuesday. It's normally Tom E. Tuesday as well. Tommy Curran at High Noon. The Twitch chat is a little concerned that maybe we have another Raycroft situation going on.
Yeah, well, listen, it's happened before, but no, this is a classic Tom E. vacation.
This is a scheduled Tom E. Off day is what that is. So we'll be talking to Tom again next week. You can mark that down. High Noon on Tuesdays here on Jones and Keefe. Celtics lose game one last night against the New York Knicks. What happened there, Keith?
Well, they missed every shot that they took is a big part of it. And yet they not only did they keep shooting, they like doubled and tripled down on it. So they weren't shooting a high percentage from three in the first half. And yet they still seemingly had their way with the Knicks. They were up by 16. Brunson and Towns were both in foul trouble and they were making things work, even though, again, the shooting percentage wasn't great. But they were taking about as many twos as they were threes, and they seemed like they had a stranglehold on the game. Second half rolls around, and we know it's the NBA, so there's always going to be runs. But usually, if you're up by 20, maybe the other team cuts it to 8, and then you kind of snuff it out, and then you go on and win, especially when you're the better team like the Celtics are. That didn't happen. No. And it seemed like every time the Knicks were chipping away at the lead, the Celtics were like, I'll fix that, 3, and like they would miss. And then you throw in the fact that Porzingis had, like, the trots, apparently, and he had to leave the game. That doesn't help, so you're down one of your starters. And then the Knicks just kind of grab control of the game because the Celtics, as a team, took 7 2-point attempts in the second half to 34 threes.
Not great.
So the number that everybody's talking about, 60 threes attempted.
45 misses.
45 misses. These are, like, records. But it's really all about the second half where they let the lead slip away and they felt like every trip down they were going to solve it with a three. And everybody's to blame really for it. Tatum and Brown should get the most of the blame because those guys are also going to get most of the credit when they do win. But they, the two of them couldn't throw it in the ocean. They were 14 of 43 combined from the floor and a lot of that obviously from three.
Yeah, I mean, I would highlight even Tatum specifically out of those two, but you're right. They should wear the most of it. Tatum 0 for 7 in the fourth quarter, 0 for 5 from 3. Much too much settling from Jason Tatum for my taste in that game. You mentioned the 45 missed threes. I mean, the shot selection was poor. And, that's maybe not accurate. The volume, the decision to shoot so many was poor. Like,
It's like every guy was cold and every guy thought they could shoot out of it.
So, like, individually, can you explain most of the looks and say, well, that's a good look? And I know that's Missoula's logic. We're going to play it for you here in a moment. But all right, each individual look, if you just boil it down and look at it as an isolated situation, and maybe the Celtics do this. I think they do this. They just say, well, it's an open shot. You should take it. At some point, the context of the game and the situation has to come into it, and it feels like with them, it really never does. Their answer to being cold is to shoot more.
Yeah.
Their answer to cold. The Knicks are coming back because we're bricking three after three after three, their answer is, well, let's just keep shooting. And a lot of times that has worked for the Celtics in the past, but they act like they win games because of that attitude. I think they lose games because of that attitude. I think the games they win on talent. They're by far the most talented team in the league. Tatum, Brown, Porzingis on down. They are by far the most talented team in the league. So I think they could win a lot of those games where they shoot their way back out of it, where they've been ice cold, like the Magic game, game 5, for instance, against Orlando. I mean, they started raining threes in the second half after not making one the entire first half. I think a lot of people look at it like, oh, that's our methodology. It came through. Just keep shooting. Well, no, you're head and shoulders more talented than Orlando. I think they'd win a lot more games this way. And I would stop looking at him as isolated shots. There was this avalanche of missed shots that was hanging over the team and letting the Knicks back in the game.
Yeah, and at some point you do need to mix in more twos or, you know, get to the free throw line a little bit more. Now, I guess as a team, they ended up taking 26 free throws, which is...
What were the Knicks, 31?
Probably
I think,
more than... the Knicks were 31.
Yep. Because they missed 14 of them.
And the Celtics took less free throws, I think, on average. During the regular season. But we just saw them against Orlando prove that they can win without shooting a lot of threes.
Well,
they didn't like it. And that's why they were making up for lost time. And they're like bombs away.
And they can win .. against Orlando that way.
Against Orlando.
I don't know if they can win against everybody, but they could against Orlando. You're right.
But you would think even the two-point attempts against the Knicks versus the Magic also aren't equal. The Magic are going to just present more resistance defensively than the Knicks are. And yet they just felt content bombing away threes. And it's strange, though, to me that it wasn't a game where they were down big and said, well, our only way is to shoot threes. Which, first of all, when you have a lot of time, isn't really true. But if you got into that mindset, it's a little bit more understandable than, hey, let's protect our 20-point lead by only shooting threes.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense because I think most of us are resigned to the fact they're going to take 50-plus three-point attempts a game on average. A lot of old-school NBA fans probably roll their eyes at that, but that's sort of what it is. But when you're missing so many of them and you're protecting a big lead, you have to change what you're doing. And they did. They're just too stubborn.
No. Again, they average, what, 48? I think is what they average
in the regular season, I think it was 48.
And so you're 12 over that. I know the game went to overtime, but you were well over that in regulation. And their answer is just shoot more. So the Celtics, you highlighted some of this, Keith. The Celtics were 15 of 60 on threes. The 45 misses shatter the record in the NBA. I think the previous most amount of missed threes in a playoff game was 40. Of the 49 shots the Celtics took in the second half and overtime, 37 were threes. When you boil it down to just the second half, Keith, what was it again? Just seven of them?
They took seven twos.
Seven twos in the second half. The Celtics only hit on 10 of those 37 in the second half and overtime. So ugly, ugly stuff. Tatum individually, I think, had very poor shot selection. Mazzulla weighed in on all of it after the game. He kind of shrugged it off.
Were you satisfied with the shot selection in that second half?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, obviously, over the course of the game, you always can find, you know, 5-10 shots that you want to be better at. But, you know, I thought throughout the night, for the most part, we fought for good looks, you know, throughout the game. But, yeah, I mean, you can find 5-10 that we could be better at.
50 to 55 of those threes were fine. some of the other ones that everything else didn't. I mean, they shot 25%, which what's the number? They have a number over the last several years. It's like 34% maybe on a night.
Might even be lower than that. It might be 32 or 33. Yeah.
Where their record is off the charts when they hit over and it's, you know, 500 or worse when they shoot under. So, I mean, that's the formula for the Knicks. I just don't know how many times you're going to get that. Like, how many times are the Celtics going to shoot this poorly as a team?
Well, I do agree with that logic. I would hate that the Celtics are approaching it that way. Like, again, I was just a bad shooting night. We were just off. The Knicks still needed overtime, and we missed a bazillion threes, and that's never going to happen again. If that's their only takeaway from this, then I think that's dangerous. Now, we in the media, fans, I'm more okay with people talking about it that way. But if that's their approach and their diagnosis, I think they're asking to get upset. If not now, then later on in the postseason. You still don't think we have a series on our hands. You didn't expect the Knicks to win a game.
No, I didn't.
But one win doesn't make it a series. The Celtics could rip off four straight. You still think that's going to happen?
Yeah. If I had to pick one scenario, I think that's still the most likely, is that they win four in a row. They're a great road team. I don't see them losing game two. Like, I think they're going to come back out just like the Cavs against the Pacers and the Thunder against the Nuggets. I think they're going to win game two. And then I think they're going to win the series. Because all the things I was saying before about the matchup, the four games they beat him in the regular season, three of which were blowouts, and one was also an overtime game. But they won all those games. I just think they're better. Now, if Porzingis is out for the series, I'm still standing by my Celtics pick, but that does sort of even things a little bit more, right? Because that's a guy that I thought individually was going to have a really good series.
Me too. So
if you just remove him from there. Also, another three-point shooter in Sam Hauser. He leaves early in the game, and he barely plays. So, you know, one of the ways to get an upset is injuries. So if you're chipping away at that, there's the roster. The team's not as deep. You're kind of now lining up your five versus their five. They don't go seven or eight deep. That helps. But, no, I'll still take the Celtics to win comfortably.
So I think the Celtics win the series, but I went in probably giving the Knicks more of a chance than most. I thought they'd get two games off the Celtics. They have one. We'll see if they get the other one. I think it's a series, and I think people underestimated the Knicks' offense. Like, I was guilty of this. We all focused on how exploitable some of the matchups are for the Knicks, Brunson and Towns specifically. Yeah. And you saw it last night. I mean, Towns got abused in some of those situations, as did Brunson. They hunt those matchups, and they're able to pick them out. And that is very different than the Magic. What I think people underestimated is how much better New York is on offense than Orlando.
They got guys that could score.
That got kind of glossed over. We talked about how soft and finesse the Knicks are, and the Magic could rough them up, and the Magic would play them physical, and the Knicks are going to be too soft. I don't think we focused enough on how much better New York is offensively than Orlando, who's atrocious. Like, I think the Celtics are a little shell-shocked. They're like, oh, teams can make open jumpers?
Yeah.
Or wait a minute, teams can make jumpers with a hand in their face? That didn't happen last round.
Right.
So I think maybe the Celtics were a little caught off guard by that. I think that was way under-discussed coming into this series. I'm guilty of this, too. We talked a lot about New York in the Pistons series as the Pistons losing it, the Pistons gagging it away.
Mm-hmm.
Even last night, I mean, the Celtics gagged it away. They had a 20-point lead. But now the commonality in all of it is New York. And maybe we got to start looking at the Knicks as a team that's coming through in these spots as opposed to the Pistons peeing it away, the Celtics peeing it away. The common thread there is New York. Maybe we need to give them more credit for executing and coming through in those spots.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jalen Brunson's a great player. Like, he was one of those guys who was underrated for such a long time. I think now he's properly rated. I think you look at him, you're like, that's an all-NBA guy. And he's going to be able to score. He was so good in the fourth quarter. Now, he didn't score in overtime, but in the fourth quarter, he was the reason they were able to tie the game and force overtime. So if the game is close, you at least have a guy on the other side that can get it done. Whereas you feel like the Magic, not really, like, as much as I like Banchero. The Pistons, I thought, had a guy, but I think it's just so overwhelming to all of them that they can't do it. Whereas at least the Knicks might be able to take advantage of your mistakes. They certainly did that against Detroit, and at least for one game they were able to do it against the Celtics. So, yeah, I mean, they're more stiff competition than Orlando in that sense, right? Like, Orlando is a better defensive team. Orlando is going to make you work for it a little bit tougher. But, in the NBA, you got a great offensive player. That's still, to me, more important.
Well, and again, you're going to keep getting better teams as you go, in theory. We'll see. And Cleveland dropped game one. OKC dropped game one. So, I mean, the Celtics are not alone in this way, but game it out. If Orlando got a game off you, if the Knicks are going to get two, they already have one. Does Cleveland get three? Does a team from the West get four? Like, I could see that catching up to you over time. I hope the Celtics don't do what Missoula did. They probably will. And I think a lot of fans are doing this. I hope the Celtics don't just brush it off and say, well, we missed open shots. I hope they look at it and say, well, the last time we were down in a series, we lost it. The last time we were down, that was an 0-3 deficit against Miami, and they forced the game seven.
Yeah.
But that was 2 years ago in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's the last time they were down. They trailed. They dropped a game two last year against Miami round one. They dropped a game two last year against the Cavs in round two. They dropped game four of the NBA Finals. That's it. So they didn't do much losing in the postseason last year.
No.
This is the first time they've been in this spot in a while. And I hope they don't whistle past it and ignore it. And I think there is a danger to fall into a trap, Keith, because they're going to smoke the Knicks in game two. I mean, I feel very confident in saying that. The Knicks came to Boston. They got their game. This happens all the time. They're going to throttle back. The Celtics are going to ratchet up. They're at home.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics are going to run them off the floor in game two.
Most likely.
I think it's already 1-1 going back to New York in my head. What happens in game three? We're going to find out a lot about the Celtics and their response in game three. Not game two. They better respond in game two, where we'll find something out as game three in New York at MSG.
See what the spread is for game two tomorrow?
Oh, I didn't. Let me guess. Hang on.
Take a guess.
It was like 9 in game one?
Yeah.
7.5.
10.5.
It went up.
10.5. Damn. Yeah,
it went up. That to me is 10.5 might not be a buying opportunity.
10.5, sucker's bet? Buying opportunity.
I mean, they're going to win, but are they going to win by double?
Yeah,
they probably will.
Yeah. They'll destroy them. But, like, that's one thing. It's funny. Like, you know,
I don't want to have to lay 10.5 points, but I bet they win by double digits. So maybe that is a buying opportunity.
I have such a short memory, but when, like, whether it was The Last Dance or Celtic City, like, reliving some of those playoff series, you kind of forget because, like, you remember what team won. You might even remember in how many games, but you often forget. Oh, there was a 20-point win and a 20-point loss
right
in there? Like, there's some lopsided
swings.
Even in a very competitive series, might have non-competitive games. So I think game two will be one of those. Also, Thunder Nuggets have the same spread. OKC 10.5 also, after losing game one.
And that was
That, I mean, you want to talk about really gagging away a game late. That was OKC last night. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Celtics. Their loss. Who's most to blame? This is a question the Greg Hill Show was asking earlier today. 53% of you in the Greg Hill Show poll blame Mazzulla. 34% blame Tatum. 9 Porzingis. 5 Brown. So we'll get more into Tatum coming up. I have a thought on Mazzulla that I want to get to that frustrated both of us as well, although he wouldn't be first on my list. He's somewhere on the list. But let's go to the phones here. Mike's in Billerica. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you? Listen, I think Mazzulla gets a little bit of a bad rap, but not what I'm here to talk about. I'm just here to talk about how everyone in the media, you know, I was just in the Pat McAfee show, views the Celtics as this, like, titan now. And for me, I just don't think that does it for Boston anymore. I think we need to always be viewed as a little bit of an underdog, you know, a gritty team. And we've never been the flashing lights team with all the skill and style. I mean, that's what I think the Patriots as well, too. I think we can get back to our old roots. And that's where I think we get the most success. And that's what I think helped Mazzulla a lot last year. Like, that was, you know, the mentality and the grittiness. That's where I think we play our best.
Were the Celtics an underdog last year?
They weren't. You know, they obviously hadn't won a title before.
Right.
They had that going.
They had a chip on their shoulder, but they weren't an underdog.
I honestly always felt like they, kind of unfairly to them, were viewed by other teams as a team that had won. Like, they were almost playing as if they were the defending champs or a team that had won. You're like, wait a minute, they don't even have, like, the banner to have that kind of respect from the other team.
Right.
And so, no, each series, now part of it was the injuries to the other team, but each series they were heavy favorites in.
Yeah.
And they won all of them. The Patriots were favored for 20 years.
I mean,
after the first one, they were favored like every year after
that. I feel like the Celtics, and they didn't come through in all these spots, but I feel like the Celtics have been the favorite for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, they've been, and I get what you're saying. They were almost treated like a team that had already won when they had it.
Right.
But they've been the most talented team in the league now 3 years running.
Although, if it ends up being Celtics Thunder in the NBA Finals,
OKC would technically be the favorite.
Right.
They would be.
So,
I mean,
the caller would have his way. It would be a real buyer's opportunity.
That's true. I heard Shime reading this morning. OKC, despite the loss, I think it was -210 to win the finals. I'm sorry, +170 maybe. The Celtics were +210, something like that. Mm. Slight favorite for OKC. He mentioned Mazzulla, gets a bad rap. I hated the hack of Mitchell Robinson last night.
Unnecessary.
Thank you. That's the perfect word for it, because Robinson is. That's some of the worst free throw form I've ever seen.
It's rough. He didn't shoot that bad a percentage in the regular season. He sucks in the playoffs. No, in the regular season he didn't. But like for his career, he's like 52%.
I mean, does he not bend his knees? I don't know what
He's a tall guy. Maybe he don't want to get too low.
But he just stays his knees straight, and he just like kind of leans into it. And
we got
it, like,
a shot coach over here? Do you guys know that we're dealing with Bob Cousy?
It's beef mechanics, Keith. It's balance. It's elbow in. It's your eyes. And I forget what the follow-through. Yeah. Is that the F?
I don't know. I was sitting here with Jeff Hornacek here breaking down free throw shots.
But you see it, but his knees don't bend.
No, it doesn't look. It looks uncomfortable.
Rick Barry, just underhand.
Barry.
He should.
Shot a high percentage.
The kid at Wofford was shooting underhand in the tournament.
Mark Price and
Keefe. Honestly.
Mark Price, yep.
Honestly, no. I would rather miss every free throw than shoot underhand.
Yeah.
I would.
Because it is a little
emasculating. Don't ruin tomorrow's question, Jones.
Say it again.
Don't ruin tomorrow's question.
Yeah, it is a would you rather.
Damn it.
Would you rather shoot 90% underhand or 52%?
52.
Yeah.
100%. I want to blend in shooting 52.
But what if your form is like Mitchell Robinson? It's not like you're shooting 52%, but it looks like you're just missing the shots.
Do his knees not bend? What's wrong with his knees? They don't. Apparently, they don't bend.
He has 2 ACLs per leg. Too many.
But it was unnecessary. That's the perfect word, Keith.
So we've seen, it started with Hack-a-Shaq, and then we've seen different teams do it to different players over the years. So it's not a new phenomenon by any stretch. Although I always thought one of the benefits to it was fouling a really good player who can't shoot free throws, and then you put the other team in a bind where you're like, all right, do I want to take Shaquille O'Neal off the floor and really do that?
And or you get in the player's head.
You get in the player's head.
You get in Shaq's head a little bit. Are
but
they
great,
about
Mitchell
to foul
Robinson?
Me? Right.
Wow, we really showed Mitchell Robinson. I think it interrupts the flow of your offense, especially when you're a team that likes to get up and down the floor and shoot. And maybe, I'm not saying it was why they shot poorly. They were shooting poorly before they even started doing this, but it just takes you out of any of your own flow. Well, I think it's stupid.
And so maybe to yell at Mazzulla, because this probably comes from above Mazzulla. They're like, when Mitchell Robinson's on the floor, the analysts are like, hack this guy.
No, you're doing too much. You beat this team 4 straight games in the regular season. You beat them 4 out of 5 times last year when the rosters were somewhat similar. And now you're like, guys, when their 8th player comes off the bench, make sure we foul them.
So,
like, why?
Mazzulla, to me, I guess, is the face of it. That probably does come from Mike Zarin, Brad Stevens. That probably does come from upstairs. I don't mind hacking Mitchell Robinson in certain spots. You're down and you're trying to steal a possession. End of quarters, things like that, where an extra possession really matters. Just paint by numbers, similar to their shot selection. Every time the Knicks are on offense and he's on the floor, we're fouling him. First of all, the Pistons did that, and it did not work.
You think
work.
They double down and do it?
I hope not, but guess is yes. My guess is they do.
Yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
But my guess is they carry that over. They probably double down, Keith. They believe in the math. So they probably double down, and you stole a strategy from a team that lost. This isn't even your own strategy. You're stealing it from the Pistons. They lost. I'd start by maybe thinking that one through fully.
Yeah.
Why didn't it work for Detroit? It didn't work for you last night. And on top of it, you should be able to beat the Knicks straight up. You shouldn't need to resort to gimmicky tactics to beat New York. If you need gimmicky tactics to beat them, how the hell are you going to beat OKC?
Now, the one argument, argument against it, or argument against kind of freaking out about it, would be the majority of those free throw attempts were in the first half. So they were up 16 at the half. And they weren't shooting well.
They might look at it, Keith, and be like, if we just did this more, we would have won. They actually might look at it that way.
Because I think it was one of two in the second half where the thing really just fell apart on the Celtics. But I still go back to they were shooting like 21% from three in the first half, but were up by 16. So part of you could say, well, if they're shooting a normal percentage, they might be up by 25. It's like, all right, but they weren't. But then they went away from it altogether, and they just were only taking threes in the second half, which was so weird. So even though it kind of slowed the game down a little bit when they did it in the first half, he was like, what was he, 2 for 8, I think, in the shooting free throws in the first half. It was a little clunky, and I didn't like it, but the results were there. Like you were the better. You had a 16-point lead at the break.
This can't be true. Text line. 617-779-7937. These days, they teach young players to use the backboard on free throws? No, they don't.
I can't imagine that's true. I haven't seen that.
Do they do that?
Is there for a reason?
Is that a strategy they're teaching kids?
Tim Duncan? Just bank, bank, bank.
Not on free throws.
No, not on free throws. He didn't do that.
You have to call bank before you hit the free throw?
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. No, obviously.
You can't just brick it in off the backboard and then be like, man,
we'll give you the point.
You got to call it.
Class.
Is that really how they're teaching kids how to shoot free throws?
No, somebody's messing with us. I think that's a prank call. I think that's what that was.
Somebody needs to teach Mitchell Robinson just how to bend his knees. I actually am worried about him. Figure out how to
knee
bend.
Problems?
Like in your everyday life. Just try a knee bend.
He's like Frankenstein?
Mix that
the monster.
Yeah.
It's Dr. Frankenstein. I know the difference.
No, that don't connect. I mean, it's the playoffs. Like, you know, we probably should just play without the refs. Like, it's how physical it is. So, you know, that don't really cross my mind at all.
I like Tatum. Pleasure. Oh, no, the refs are no big deal. Maybe we should just play games without refs. It's like he still has to take a little, even when he's trying to duck out of the question, still a little shot at the refs. Like, oh, yeah, it's the refs' fault, Jason. That's what it was.
Or robot refs.
Maybe.
That's what they need.
Maybe some robot refs. Uh-huh. You can jump in on this on Jones and Keith. We got a Key for Madness for you coming up a little over 10 minutes from now, 12:45. We do that every Tuesday. But all month long, we're also doing Two for Tuesdays.
What is it?
It's a twofer Tuesday. Twofer, twofer, twofer Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Be caller 9 right now to the contest line. 617-931-0937. That's the contest line.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have today's code word, you'll score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Atlanta Braves May 17th at Fenway Park. And caller 9 right now, contest line, 617-931-0937. Give the code word to Billy. You'll have two tickets, Red Sox and Braves, on May 17th. Good luck there. We have another pair to give away at 1:30. It'll continue through WEEI afternoon, so stay tuned on a Two for Tuesday on WEEI. Tatum last night, Keith, you blame him more than anybody else for the loss?
Yeah, I do think Jaylen Brown's pretty close, too. I mean, hucking up 1 of 10 from 3 is not ideal. But
not
going to
cut it, no.
No, it's not going to cut it. But Jason Tatum, I usually would give a little bit more credit to because I think he is the best player on the team. He should be the best player in this series. And you know, he shot 30% from the field, 26.7% from three. He had 5 turnovers, which was a team high. So, yes, he had rebounds. Yes, he had some assists. But he was really, really bad, particularly in that second half. He was even less efficient in the second half. And what's staggering is in the first half, even though the numbers weren't amazing, right? He was 4 of 10 shooting. But didn't it feel like he was comfortable?
The first quarter he came out and was red hot.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, red
hot.
That's
true. Yeah. So that's true. He was hot. But
I think he bricked maybe his first three and he missed a free throw. But after that, he hit everything. And they even pointed out on the broadcast, they're like, this is barely even hitting the net.
Yeah, and it just felt like every time he had the ball, something good was going to happen. Like, he would either get the matchup that he wanted, or he would find a teammate or something. You're like, this is going to be a big-time series. And it felt like the team was going to do what we expected. The games were going to look sort of like they did in the regular season. Tatum would, you know, they flashed up his numbers from the Magic series. And you're like, yeah, could be that, like 31, 11, and 6, something like that. You're like, yeah, this is what it's going to be. And then it just wasn't, and it was kind of contagious. It felt like he and the other guys on the team just kept bricking shots. They didn't shoot very high percentage in the first half, but he kind of looked the other way because they had such a healthy lead. And then by the time the second half went around, it was like any kind of semblance of any kind of offense at all just disappeared. And it was like, we're going to keep this lead by shooting threes, but we're just going to miss them all.
Yeah, I mean,
and he was like allergic to 2-point shots in the second half.
Yeah, it's the NBA. So I'm going to look at the best players when you lose. Tatum is top of my list. The biggest reason why they lost, it's mostly his shot selection. He was 0 for 7 in the fourth quarter, 0 for 5 on 3 in the fourth quarter. Way too much settling, way too many step backs. So that's the most frustrating thing about his game. But I'll just highlight this because it wasn't just about his shooting. Our guy B-Rob over at Mass Live has some good cut-ups, mostly of Jaylen Brown defensive breakdowns. But Tatum was completely asleep on OG Anunoby, the first bucket of overtime, the and one, the dunk and the and one. That was Tatum's man. He fell asleep on defense. He got beat back door. So that's an example of his defense being underwhelming last night in a big spot. He also had 5 turnovers in the game last night, which I believe had to have led the team.
It did.
Led the game. The other issue for me last night, specifically with that turnover, he had the turnover that led to the Anunoby runout dunk midway through the third quarter, where the Knicks hadn't even tied. They hadn't been back in the game. They had been close. They had been knocking on the door, making it a one possession. They couldn't get over the hump. Mm-hmm. Anunoby ties it up on the dunk. That was a Tatum turnover. So it wasn't just the shot selection is my only point with Tatum. It was a poor game overall. But it starts with his shot selection settling far too much, and that trickles down to the rest of the team, I think. And the one thing about Jaylen, you're right, Jaylen was 1 for 10 on threes. He shot 20 times, so that means he shot 10 twos.
Yeah, that's a better percentage. I like that better.
Derek White, I mean, it's crazy that 50-50 is a better percentage.
50-50 is like an amazing percentage.
But Derek White, 16 three-point attempts on 18 field goals.
Yeah.
Tatum, 15 out of 23. Like, those are two.
Derek White is like morphed into Duncan Robinson. Like, all he does is shoot threes.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I love Derek White.
But you would never consider him Kyle Korver or Klay Thompson or like a sniper.
You had his regular season numbers earlier. 12 field goal attempts a game. 9 of them are threes.
Yep.
So that, I mean, you're right. He's basically just a 3-point specialist. I mean, he's a good defensive player. I don't mean to say just
but on offense.
3-and-D. Like, does he ever go to the hoop?
3-and-D.
So,
no, yeah. And also, like, and he shoots 34%. So it's like,
it's not a great. Yeah, see, he's a guy who.
Isn't that like league average?
When he lets it go, I think they're going in. But yeah, maybe he's fallen. Maybe he needs to diversify his game a little bit more. That's a fair critique.
Oh, well, that's, hold on a second. That was in the postseason. What was it in the regular season? Maybe I looked up. No, I was right. Oh, no, he was 38%. So 34% he's shooting in the playoffs. 38% in the regular season. So better. But not to the level that you would think with some of these guys that, you know, like Peyton Pritchard, Kristaps Porzingis, both shot a higher percentage. So they're more of like your knockdown three-point shooters than Derek White is. But no, it's kind of, it's everybody. And I know there's plenty of people that want to blame Joe Mazzulla, and I get it. I have a hard time doing that. Just like when we've brought up, you know, the certain things with the Red Sox. I'm like, I don't know. It's so much about the players, like in both sports, that like I'm not going to give as much credit or blame. Like, so if they end up ripping off 4 straight, I'm not going to be like, see, Mazzulla's
pushing the right buttons.
I'd be like, no, Tatum got together and stopped settling for threes or, you know, started hitting his threes, whatever it might end up being. But that to me is, it's more on your star guys.
Real quick, you mentioned Porzingis and the 3-point shooting. I'm a little fatigued with the Porzingis experience.
Yeah, it is.
Like, upset tummy and you're out in a playoff game.
The guy just had, like, his head split open, blood dripping down his head, gets stitches, comes back onto the court. He's like, this is my WWE moment. And then 2 games later, he's playing his former team a round further the playoffs, and his tummy hurts?
Yeah,
so I saw that he came out at halftime.
He did.
Tried working out,
yeah,
but he didn't play.
Now, this happened.
Trots?
This happened in the first. No, see, I wonder if there's something. I wonder if there's something going on, because this happened in the Orlando series, too, and I think one of the games where he didn't start the second half, he was in foul trouble, but I wonder if there is something more going on, because you make a good point, Keith. Like, The guy came back from getting his head split open. He was running back out on the court.
Like, he loves it. He wants to play his former team. He wants to do all this stuff.
And if it wasn't Porzingis, maybe I'd rule out something bigger going on. But with him, you never know. So I'm a little fatigued by the whole experience. Terp highlighted this earlier. His postseason numbers, it's 10 starts, 13 games. He's averaging 11 points, 5 rebounds.
Yeah.
He's shooting like 26% from three and under 40% from the floor. Like, that's pretty underwhelming for a guy who they basically won the title without a year ago.
I know.
I'm not Wiggy. I'm not blowing the team up.
No, he was upset.
I am a little fatigued with that experience.
Well, and it's funny because last year, Porzingis was really in and out, kind of a non-factor, and Drew Holiday was such a rock for them.
Holiday, we have not really highlighted this properly. No. He was awesome last year.
He was awesome.
Holiday was great last year.
And he didn't play the last three games of the Magic series, and you were wondering with him and his hamstring injury, how effective was he going to be? And so we had a lot more questions about him than we did Porzingis, and then in that game, it was the opposite. Holiday might have been one of the few guys that had a good game. And then Porzingis played, 13 minutes and was done.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We have the grab bag on the way at 1:30. Another pair of tickets to the Red Sox and Braves May 17th on a 2 for Tuesday at 1:30. But on the way next, 12:45 on a Tuesday means it's time for the madness, Kiefer Madness.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it. That look like they're training for the Kentucky Derby. As if they were in the Daytona 500.
What? Taylor Swift?
Nobody is wanting to kill Bigfoot.
All right, here we go. It's time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And we go down, Jones, to the great state of Pennsylvania. Delco. Delaware County.
Delco.
They got some accents down Delco.
I'm not familiar with that term.
Well,
okay.
You are about to be very familiar with Delco.
Okay.
As this story has picked up a lot of steam here recently. So let's dive in.
Now to this, a bizarre and nasty road rage incident caught on camera is also catching the eyes of police and social media users.
That's right. The police, people on Instagram, and everybody in between are all over this massive story.
Okay, road rage.
Road rage. Nasty road rage.
Okay, so like,
want to take a stab?
I mean, you know.
Could be anything.
Tire iron smashing out the windshield. Something like
tire
that.
Iron.
An oldie but a goodie.
Could be a tire iron.
Yeah, road rage.
Got a tire iron out there.
Yeah.
Fired up.
Yep.
Could be. We'll see.
A Delaware County woman is facing multiple charges after she is seen defecating on a car hood.
Nasty.
You want to bring in
road rage to the
Will
next
Campbell
level
on that one? Yeah, no, that's
there's road rage, then there's this.
Yeah, I personally don't like to defecate while angry.
Yeah,
and so I don't. You might strain
smart.
Something.
No, yeah, that's good. That's a good life lesson, right there.
It's like you never go to. Yeah, as a couple, you never go to bed angry, Keith. Also personally like to never defecate angry.
That's smart.
Yeah.
This lady went the other way.
Pop a blood vessel in your eyes.
This lady went the other way.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't know. Who knows if she had one ready to go or not? But she was able to.
I'm gonna say probably she
must
did. Yeah.
She's like, should I fight this person? No.
No.
Next level. Like, what the hell?
This was all after an apparent dispute with the driver. NBC 10's Lily Zhang was in Prospect Park as the suspect was taken into custody.
Poor Lily Zhang.
The police chief for Prospect Park says he has seen some road rage cases during his career. Somebody cuts someone off, then the drivers might get into a heated exchange.
Uh-huh. You know, road rage. Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with the term road rage. You're driving on a car, somebody does it, and then you're upset about it.
She didn't cut someone off.
No.
She pinched one off, is what she did.
Lily, you missed a great.
That's how you write that.
That's true.
They got heated. No. She left a heater on the windshield. I could write these.
You could.
Yeah, I could write.
She's choosing to go more professional, it sounds like.
Well,
she's missing out on a few opportunities.
There's a lot of good material there.
Then they typically drive away. But in this case, on Tuesday, there was a little more to that. And the incident was captured on video by a bystander.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. Immediately uploaded it to the internet. This person is now famous.
That video shared thousands of times on Instagram.
I'm sorry. That's a car. Is that a car horn?
Yeah, no, no, that might be a car horn.
So is she holding up traffic doing this?
Well, so we do have the video. If you're watching on Twitch and Instagram. Now, this video is actually from the news station, so they do blur out all of the real graphic parts. Sorry to be the party pooper. But, yeah, there's the video does
I thought this was America.
Exist
wow.
out there.
Okay,
yeah, sorry.
Good.
We had censored a little bit.
Good,
we're trying
good.
To stay on Twitch.
But she, oh, yeah, so she just marches right over there and just.
They should have at least had a sense of humor and done like a poop emoji instead of just a grace.
I agree.
Was another missed opportunity. What are they doing?
They're
though?
Falling apart.
Seriously.
You're given a story like this and you just fumble it.
Yeah.
That video, shared thousands of times on Instagram, shows a woman identified Thursday as Christina Salometto walking to another woman's car. The 44-year-old sits on the hood, or not showing the most graphic part of the video, including when she appeared to defecate on the car.
Boo!
Come on! Boo. Thought this was America.
Is that America?
Now, let me tell you, Keith, somebody on the text line says they have seen the video.
Good for them.
And they're... pretty sure she had a stomach bug.
She had whatever Porzingis has.
I know it's being joked about a lot. I know there's all kinds of puns, innuendo, and, humor online about
sorry.
This.
Yeah, come on, Joe. You got me. Sorry.
Real bottom line is we are treating it seriously.
This is serious.
Nope.
This is the sheriff.
Yeah.
He's obviously very serious about this. This is the most serious.
It can't happen in this community. No town wants this to happen in their town.
Not down here in Delco. Can't have it in Delco.
Prospect Park Police Chief David Madonna says it happened by 4th and Madison. Like most people in this neighborhood, police say they, too, found out about the incident through social media.
Social media is everywhere.
Yeah.
People are finding out about
this
story.
This is what it's for.
Now, if you were an observer of this, is your first instinct, let me film this? I'm not that person.
For my own personal collection.
I don't think I've ever filmed a, like...
anything?
Something like that. Well, no, trust me, I've filmed stuff. No. I mean, like, I don't think I've ever filmed, like, strangers. Like, I've never been at, like, a store and seen a dispute, and I'm like, whoop!
Let me get... yeah.
Hello!
Hey, world star!
I've never world starred anything.
Oh, man. You got a world star, man.
World star still a thing?
Maybe I should.
Good question. I don't know.
Maybe I'm not saying I shouldn't, but I'm just saying my first instinct wouldn't be this, but whoever did this, hopefully they're swimming in riches right now.
I didn't think it was real at first.
We thought it was fake news.
It was hilarious in the same sense. Like...
that guy gets it.
It was hilarious in the same sense.
Yeah.
To be able to poop on a car like that was impressive, but it was disgusting at the same sense.
Crazy.
Where do you think...
It was impressive and disgusting. It can be both. It can be both.
Twitch chat is saying she really... no stage fright from this lady.
No. She impressive.
Was, yeah.
On a mission. You think premeditated?
Maybe, perhaps.
I just think when you got to go...
You do have to go.
Yeah, but really wouldn't stop you. Stage fright might factor in a little bit, and that's in the middle of traffic.
You're angry enough.
It's true.
That's a good point. You're seeing red.
Now, I know normally you like to point towards an inside job.
Brown.
Any chance?
Inside job?
Can't be. This we have to maybe rule that out.
Yeah, well.
Related to the porch pooper?
People love their clout.
Right. We had the porch pooper.
Yep.
And then we famously years ago had the Portland pooper.
Yeah, still on the lam.
On the lam. You know what they're calling this lady? they know who this lady is.
On
she's
the
been
loose. Yeah, no, they found her. Again,
on the loose, right.
Copious amounts of DNA.
This is the Delco pooper.
Video, yes. The Delco. Is that what they're calling her?
Yeah, they are calling her the Delco pooper.
I'd go Delco crapper is what I would go.
And she's smiling in her mugshot.
The mugshot I have seen.
Yeah, she's smiling.
But it is it is an all-time
mugshot.
Could be
just relief from letting it go.
True.
She had to go.
Christina, do you have a comment? Salometto was brought to the Prospect Park Police Department Thursday in handcuffs, offering no remarks. She faces a number of charges, including indecent exposure and depositing waste on a highway.
Didn't Dave Matthews Band have that issue?
Yeah, sometimes you get like...
I think so, right?
Yes.
Their bus?
Yeah. Sometimes you get like trumped up charges. Like sometimes you're like overcharged. This feels like an undercharge.
This seems enough.
How did they describe it again?
Dumping waste, I think it was.
What was it?
Exposure and depositing waste on a highway.
Yeah, that's like when I'm doing job interviews, that's what I say. Well, you know, one time I did get in a little trouble for depositing waste.
So is that littering?
Yeah, would you litter?
No, not quite.
Kinda.
Yeah, it is.
You're right. Yeah, basically.
Littering.
Exactly.
Littering and...
The recognition a town gets over this kind of thing, it's really unwelcome. We don't want this.
Chief Madonna says with any road rage incident, there's always a level of frustration, but never a need for it to escalate.
There's anger. People are in a hurry to get everywhere. Things are certainly tumultuous in our country, to say the least.
Oh, this guy's trying to make it a bigger deal than it is.
Sir, did you say Chief Madonna?
Chief Madonna. Multiple texts saying it should be the Delco Dumper.
Ooh, Delco Dumper. Call. I like Delco Crapper, but Delco Dumper, better
They're
call.
They're calling it Delco Pooper.
Yeah.
Well, no alliteration.
Doesn't work.
Nothing.
No.
There's a lot of anger out there.
Buddy, he's taking stuff from home, I think, bringing it to the job. So let's focus on this one crazy story. We don't need to bring it. This isn't like a metaphor for what's going on in the country.
A larger issue in the world. No.
He's like, you see the tariffs on movies now? You're like, the heck? This is what this is about?
And sometimes this is how it presents itself.
Now, we spoke with the suspect's family a little earlier this evening. They did not agree to an on-camera interview, but they claim that there is more to the story than just the video that's being shared. I am told that they are working on getting an attorney. Reporting in Prospect Park, Lili Zhang, NBC 10 News.
How much more? And be specific to this story.
Poor Lili.
No, Mom, seriously.
I got my big news break today.
I agree.
I went to the University of Pennsylvania Broadcasting School.
I agree.
And this is where it takes me.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the big story.
Yeah, Delco Dumper. You're right. Credit to the text line. You're right, Keith.
There's also a quote from this lady. So on this story, she didn't say anything. They had her marching into the police station. And then she said, this is a quote from the Delco Pooper.
Yeah, Dumper.
I wanted to punch her in the face, but I pooped on her car instead and went home.
Yeah, anger management.
That's it.
I think that's a good coping mechanism is what I think it is.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, how about this? Text line's rolling in right now, Keith.
Yeah,
Pennsylvania pooper.
Not bad.
The man came over in the middle of the night, pooped, and then left.
How about not the porch pooper, the Porsche pooper?
Porsche pooper.
The now infamous porch pooper.
It's a vehicle.
Not bad.
The Delco Deucer?
Okay. Yep.
I think you're going to like the one from Fuzz and Revere
Dog
for sure.
Dog poop, cat poop, horse poop.
I think you're going to like the submission from Fuzz and Revere personally.
All right, Fuzz, what do you got?
The Delco Dookie Deaconess.
Oh, my God. And I started crying. I'm like, I'm covered in poo. And
I like it. I like it.
Because poop is funny.
It is. I've said this many times. The biggest lie my parents ever told me. Was that someday I'm going to outgrow poop and fart jokes.
Because
that was just talking about lying right to a child's face.
It's either you either have it or you don't. I don't think you outgrow it.
Someday you're not going to find that funny anymore.
Poopocalypse.
Will always be funny that and when other dudes get hit below the belt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Forever funny.
I don't know. Football to the groin is football to the groin.
Right in the nards.
Poop-tastrophe.
It's a home run every time.
Jackson Pollock poop painting.
Give me a Wiggy. You got Wiggy again? Give me that one more time. That was a winner. I'm not sure.
You hadn't heard that one before?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I think I lost it.
That's the Delco. That's what the Delco Dumper said.
So the sad reality.
Dog poop, cat poop, horse poop.
Peek behind the curtain. I have my little sound thing over here.
Yeah.
And then so my folder, then I just search poop.
Yeah.
Way too many.
It's like searching for a grab bag.
There's a million of them in
here. Does it outnumber Forrest Gump grab bags?
Ooh. I think it actually might.
Really?
Yeah.
I have never in my entire life felt more dehumanized. I felt like an animal.
That one doesn't even get into it. That was a guy that was on a plane.
We get the context there. Yeah, we get it.
What about porch poopers?
Porsche.
Targeted by a porch pooper.
Again, Porsche. So that's the madness. Keith for Madness.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday, most Thursdays here on Jones and Keith. Very highbrow.